regular assembly meeting of the city of Burke, Glendale, Alaska, on December 13, 2016, at 7 p.m. The pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member Patty Gilbert, after which if you will remain standing for the invocation to be given by Don McConaughey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a ceremony of honors this evening. Well, roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Snaka? Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell? And Mayor Jack?
Here. Item 3, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments? Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have conflict of interest on any item?
I have a potential conflict on the Trident sale, item 13E. Because my family sells fish to Trident, and Trident Sequence has an employee on my board of directors.
You're on the board of directors. Will a sale net you any financial gain?
No.
I don't see a conflict of interest there. Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk. Items number 6A and 7A through 7E.
Second.
Then moved and second. Any discussion? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. And moving on to item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
I did something a little different, kind of a year-end thing that I'd asked department heads to provide kind of what they've done in the past year. I think our police department usually waits until the end of the actual year, and then they're required to do a report, so that will be coming later. But anyway, and there's some fun stuff in there, too, so hopefully you enjoy that. But So that's the first part. The second part is the department head reports. And then the third section is a report from our lobbyists in Washington, D.C. So unless someone has questions, that's about it.
I thought it was pretty well done.
Well, thank you. I used to do something kind of like this, but for the employees, but... Anyway, I thought I would.
Well, thank you.
Don't count it on at every meeting, but.
Item 9, Borough Parks Fund.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything.
You didn't do one of these?
Oh. I can't live up to that.
Okay, item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Any assembly member have anything to report?
Go ahead. Oh, we had a meeting last night with the ANSEP. We're trying to move forward with that a little bit. They had the TCC, which is Tanah Chiefs, so it's Ackerman. had a lot of questions, and I think Patrick Mayer did a really good job of answering them, and now we're just kind of waiting for them to have another meeting, and hopefully we'll get their support, and if we get their support, and things will probably move forward pretty well. We just had a letter wrote from local tribes, which was a really good letter. I tweaked a little bit, they said, but everything looks good.
And so... After, if the town hall chiefs support it, would the next step be AFN or just for getting additional?
Next step would be AFN meets in December, right? I mean, November. November, so yeah, if they support it, well, like Patrick said, if they don't support it, it's not really a deal breaker, but they're huge. I mean, it's big, and they had a lot of pretty good questions that are going to be hard answered, I think. Mm-hmm. But if they support it, then next thing would be AFN, and then if we get all the tribes of Alaska, if we get that, I mean, I don't see where the state's going to say no to building a school like that here.
So I agree. I think the tough questions, the more that they can be fleshed out ahead of time, the stronger the project could potentially be. So I was curious if the questions that they submitted to the superintendent, if that's maybe, could we get a copy of those? Or?
Oh, yeah. I should have brought it with me, I guess. But there was questions like, why not Fairbanks? They have 10,000 voting members in Fairbanks. If I say that right, Dion?
Mm-hmm.
Dion?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there was, he answered them quite well, and so did Herb Schroeder. But they had other concerns. They did table it for no decision yet, mm-hmm. which is, you could look at it two ways, as Patrick said, which is a good thing because they didn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
When Patrick was there, he said there was only really three members that had their questions, and the other 20 were like, he felt were for it. It's just a question of whether they want to do it in Southeast Alaska. It's going to get built. It's just depends on where it gets built. So, but I'll bring, if you want, I can bring them down to Kim and she can, that letter that we have, I'll have her make a copy for everybody and send it out.
That'd be great.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say congratulations to the Wrangell wrestlers who were the 2A Southeast champs, regional champs, and are headed to state. And nine of the wrestlers got, I think it's either first or second place. So pretty good job. And congratulations to all the coaches as well.
Thank you. Is that a conflict of interest?
Anything further? Okay, appointments to fill annual vacancies and other various boards and committees vacancies. We had one vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission in October 2019, two vacancies on the Economic Development Committee until October 2019. We have no letters of interest for any of those states, but we'll keep advertising. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. There's nobody that signed up to be heard, and there's nobody except in newspaper from the course director in the audience, and I'm sure if there's any questions for them, we'll get to them. Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 928, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Chapter 11.76, junk vehicles of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to the procedures for the disposition and disposal of junk vehicles. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 928.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I have a few. When we talk about impound vehicles, junk vehicles, do we have an impound area that's secure? Mm-hmm. And do we have fees already established?
I think there's charges for, like, if the police
storage,
impound stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a charge somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. There's a
list of the fees and the, but the impound yard is up in the industrial thing. It's fenced in.
Okay.
With locked up and secure it in there. That's where it's at.
Anything further?
Well, I had a few questions. I'm still sort of bothered by the idea of public or private property. I was trying to find where it says in the Alaska statutes, you know, that you could remove a junk vehicle with the permission of the owner of the private property. But I was just wondering if instead of junk vehicle, if we could maybe define it as a public nuisance / junk vehicle, if that would, because a junk vehicle is sort of in the eye of the beholder. I know what the ordinance is trying to do, but I just wonder about that aspect of it.
Go ahead.
If you look, there's a definition of junk vehicle, and that's not enough. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if, for instance, would parts of a junk vehicle be, would you classify that as a, you know, a motor vehicle? Would motorcycle would be classified as that, correct? And snow machine and motorhome and things of that sort?
You know, you can get a lot in an ordinance, and pretty soon you get make it too burdensome for anyone to deal with. And and under the procedures, impound procedures, it has a procedure for the owner to reclaim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in that it states exactly what the reason that it was impounded as a junk vehicle, why, what made it a nuisance or junk vehicle, what defects.
Well, and I like the way it says about disposition. It says upon observation of what appears to be a junk vehicle, you know, the Wrangell Police Department shall. I like that part. And I've seen Anchorage has an ordinance similar to this, but I was reading other ordinances. I just couldn't find anything that was similar to this in the Alaska statutes. I guess that's what's given me a little bit of a quandary here.
So, in working with the attorney, she actually crafted this ordinance based off the statutes. Because I did find, I usually find like three or four different examples of different municipalities, junk vehicles or whatnot, and she wasn't impressed. She said that a lot of those, Ketchikan, Sitka, that although they're vast, they didn't, a lot of theirs didn't meet state statutes. And so that's why she just, I mean, it took a long time for her to get back to me on this.
Yeah, and like I say, it Anchorage has something similar to this. But I just couldn't get over the idea that the Alaska statute says without, I was trying to find it here, I had it underlined, without the consent of the owner.
That's in her.
Yeah.
Sorry. No.
But it is in, as I said, in Anchorage, and there's probably other ordinances that have the same wording, so.
It, you know, before vehicles even impounded, there's a requirement for written notice to the owner.
Correct, yeah.
Registered owner. And
And if they put it undercover or within a garage or some structure.
Or cover it with a tarp. And like I said, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to tell Patty, Kim found the, it's $150 for the impound plus towing fees. And so that's what they would have to pay is to the city part. And then,
$150.
And then after we impound it, there's a, you know, then there's a process to go to give them an opportunity to pay the fine and redeem it. And
okay. Well, I looked at that fine schedule. And it says for junk vehicles unlawful, $50 per offense for every 10 days. Mm-hmm. And then after 10 days, another 50. So is that in addition to the impound?
Let's see.
Is
there two parts of that?
Yeah, this is in a different section. This is just for impounding.
I think it was.
I don't know if this is the same. And I would have to check with the police department. But I would say that it would be. I don't think it would be an addition. I'm not sure.
When I was on the police department, it was.
Oh, okay.
There was a daily storage fee.
Okay. But this is just
in addition to the unpaid. But I don't know whether that's existing now or not.
Well, and we may have to look at that fine schedule again because I don't quite understand what the junk vehicle's unlawful, $50 per offense for 10 days. I guess if they don't move it or something, I don't know how that applies in addition to all the time limits we've set up for notice and impoundment and so forth. So we may have to look at that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not clear if this applies to vehicles on public property and private property, and if it does apply to both, if it's the private property owner's junk vehicle, are we still giving notice to them?
Sure. Well, you're supposed to.
Okay, that's what I'm just wanting to get clarity of the meaning of the ordinance. And I guess further to that, it says shall, that the police department shall give notice, that means they're going to have to do this. Are we going to combine that with sort of a carrot and stick approach with making some, you know, something available for them to remove their vehicles and, you know what I'm saying? So make it more possible for them to comply with the new ordinance.
What does that mean? I can tell you right now So if it was something where it was at, they could take it out to the dump and then they didn't have to deal with it anymore. Right now the sanitation department is barely breaking even at best. So if there's a cost associated with this, or if it gets to the point where we have to pay somebody to remove the metal that we have out there, right now it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. If this guy can get his new barge going, he will come in here and pull things out. But if he can't, and at some point it fills up and we have to actually put it out to bid and pay someone to remove it, one of two things. We'd either have to raise overall rates to pay for something like that or do something else. But that's only my concern, is that that department right now is not doing well.
Sure. So I'm wondering then if something that's, I'm just trying to look at a practical approach. If we do get confirmation that this person is willing to bring the barge to town and remove all the metal off the island, basically. Can we then make like a 90-day period or 60-day period or something like that prior to the barge coming to town where, you know, people can bring their junk vehicles and drop them off for free? They'll be taken away for free. It's just like, you know, it's an incentive for people to deal with this stuff. And then prior to this kind of going into effect, maybe, or maybe in conjunction with it going into effect.
Well, we talked about that exact thing at the workshop, and we were supposed to hear back from this guy, and we were hoping to get at least 6 months, you know, so that we could really do something. I mean, giving somebody 30 days, you know yourself, if you've got to move a vehicle and you don't know how you're going to tow it, probably going to take a long time. So, I mean, I know I've been kind of pushing this because I want to see our town look better, but, you know, I guess we got to start somewhere, and it doesn't appear that we're going to have an answer in time for this ordinance to go into place. Is that true, Jeff?
You mean when the guy comes?
Yeah, or if he's going to come, or all of those questions.
I think Amber made contact with, go ahead.
So the last time I spoke to Channel Construction was last week, and they originally planned to come in at the end of October, beginning of November. You probably heard the barge thing on the return trip from Seattle. We were planning on doing a couple of back-to-back hauls. So they are in the process of getting their new barge together, and they will not give me a date. At this point, you know, he's coming in, he's willing to take the stuff for free for us, and, you know, prices aren't at a level where it really is probably that cost effective for him. I don't plan to do it, but he's making it work. The one thing that I did think about, and he has asked if the city could help him possibly look at hauling all of the metal out to the 6 mile mill. Just for the sake of, you know, not having to run it through town, for the community's sake. And I told him that we would make some questions and talk to the owners and see if that's something they would consider. We put him in touch with them to work that out. So one of my thoughts was, if that became a reality and the owners were agreeable to accepting the material out there, I mean, we just don't have the room at the landfill to take it right now. I mean, if we were going to do, and that was one thing I was thinking, is like, if we did have a day, could we put a push out to the community, people who wanted to get rid of their stuff, to say, hey, you know, we'll take your stuff for free, just get it here and we'll take care of it. But at this point, we don't have the capacity up here in the space to accept a lot of it. We're really to the tipping point right now. But could something be worked out with the 6 mile mill if that was something that they would be able to work out? And I haven't. And I think that there are some concerns with the dock out there that Jeff and I talked about, so could they use the ramp instead of the dock? But that's the only thing that I've been able to think about as far as, like, how can we, you know, make a larger push towards cleaning up the community for those who want to bring some scrap metal and take advantage of this barge. And that would be if Channel Construction even thought they would have the room for it. He asked for pictures of our pile, and he got those today.
That's great if he comes. So my question is twofold. Timing, you know, and in order to give the public enough notice to mobilize, you know. I mean, if you were to have come at end of October, we didn't have any of this stuff in place anyway. So so the timing is important. And then, like, if something else were to happen, or if he changes his mind and we don't have something like this happening, I mean, what do we think will happen with this ordinance? Because there isn't room at the dump for this stuff either. So how would people even get rid of their stuff?
I don't think you can until we deal with the dump. And so say if he just said, well, I'm not coming, I think what we would have to do then is put out a bid and probably have to pay to get rid of it out at the dump, because there's just no other room anywhere to enforce this and to bring it. I mean, you'd eventually get it to the impound lot, but after the impound lot, you got to do something with it then, and then that would be, the next step would be to the junkyard. And I mean, I've been out there, and there's stuff stacked all over everywhere out there, and at some point it actually starts to get somewhat dangerous, because you stack it up, and yeah, you hope someone doesn't sneak up there to try to do something. But he said he's coming, so we want to certainly encourage him to do that and say you can have this, and you know, then we would have some room to do that. But but that's our dilemma, is just. And then as you can imagine, you know, the last thing you want to do is take this somewhere else too, because you always have the threat if you're renting someone else's property or to do this on, and then you got some kind of oil spills or, you know, stuff like that. So that's always a risk too. But
am I remembering correctly, isn't most of this already in our ordinances? So it's not like this is something all brand new. It's just been updated to follow Alaska state statutes. Is that correct?
Correct.
And right now, they're just not enforcing it. And I mean, so why not get us in line with the Alaska state statutes? And then we do have an opportunity that, I mean, they're not enforcing it now. So what does 6 months wait mean by getting us in line with the state statutes?
The junk vehicle unlawful fine that you were speaking of is in our fine schedule.
The $50.
Right, the $50. Correct. And it's basically if you're given a notice that it's unlawful, you have 10 days, and each 10 days is a separate offense. So
an additional 50.
Right. And I like Assemblymember Rooney said, I know that they're not enforcing that right now.
And that's not actually impounding the vehicle.
Right, right.
It's if it's created a nuisance or something. And they've been notified. I got two kind of thoughts on this. You know, we do have an existing ordinance, which is pretty much the same thing as this right now, except for certain little things, which we've had for several years. And there were some questions on this ordinance that I think should be addressed. What I'd like to see is this be postponed until those questions are addressed that the Assemblymember Gilbert brought up. Unless she's satisfied with the explanation so far.
I think I am. I felt better about it after I saw it in other municipal codes. So I don't have any heartburn other than I would hate to have us have to move a vehicle, and I understand why we would have to impound it, but if the owner would say, I'd rather get rid of it, that we wouldn't have to move it twice, you know, to one area and then move it out to 6 Mile. It'd be nice if we had a staging area and do a PSA for the public to let them know that this was available as soon as we get word.
So, I don't get why we are, as a city, trying to. I mean, this. When I look at this, this could cost a lot of money. But I understand what you're trying to say to do. You know, give the people a little time. Let's get rid of things for free, and nothing is free. Okay, if we, like Jeff says, if they're trying to barely make an ends and we start impounding vehicles, which we already can, we already have an ordinance place that we can, this is just getting everything in line, but just to I don't understand. I mean, I, as a community member and a business, take stuff to the dump and pay all the time. Okay? I don't understand why we're sitting here trying to make it where one or two people or even 10 people can take a junk vehicle to the dump at one time for free. I don't understand why we're doing that. I don't get it. And if you explain to me why, then I'll go along with doing stuff for free, I guess. But I know I'm not the only business in town or individual that takes stuff to that dump and pays the fee. And until you can, if someone tells me, okay, well, we're talking 50 vehicles or 5 vehicles. I mean, what happens if you say, okay, for 1 month, we're going to do it for free and 500 vehicles show up? Well, this city's going to, that's going to be costing us a lot of money. So until someone can say what we're going to do with it, I can't say, yeah, let's have a free day or a free month or 390-day period. I mean, that's just unreal.